put yourself in the shoes of the Apostle Paul. He's sitting in a prison cell. He's got a Roman soldier chained to him. He's under house arrest. And 24/7, he's under guard. He's writing this epistle to the Ephesian Christians. He's in Rome now. And Ephesus was in Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey. And he was writing to these Christians how to live for God and how to overcome the enemy. And he's drawing his analogies and his pictures from this Roman soldier right by his side.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We look forward to hearing from you and to know that you are encouraged and blessed through these Let the Bible Speak radio programs that come to you from the Free Presbyterian Church. I am Ian Gollaher, minister of the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, British Columbia. Thank you for being a part of the program today, and I trust that you will be truly encouraged as we bring the message of God's Word to your own heart. We have a Bible reading in Ephesians chapter 6. Then we're going to be looking at the items of armor that protect the Christian. You remember how Paul the Apostle was sitting there in that prison cell, studying the soldier, looking at his protection, and how he could equip himself to stand against the foe. Well, we as Christians are in a spiritual battle. Paul outlined that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities of the powers of the air. Stay tuned now as we open the Bible, Ephesians chapter 6.
All right, let's begin at the verse 10 here, to remind ourselves of these various items of Christian armor that we are to put on, by which we may standing for God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that ye might, he might, comfort your heart.
Grace be with all
peace
them.
Peace be to the brethren.
Our Lord
and
Jesus Christ.
Faith.
In from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's writing this epistle to the Ephesian Christians. He's in Rome now. And Ephesus was in Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey. And he was writing to these Christians how to live for God and how to overcome the enemy. And he's drawing his analogies and his pictures from this Roman soldier right by his side. And as he looks at the shield, he contemplates how he uses that in warfare. And he says in this letter, in verse 16, and you'll notice, he says, above all, taking the shield of faith. So of all the weapons, of all the means of arming yourself and guarding yourself in battle, he says, whatever else you forget, don't forget the shield of faith. Don't forget to put on this very shield. Faith, then, is the most important instrument to arm ourselves in the Christian life. Lose your faith and you've lost the battle. Lose your faith and you're conquered from beginning to end. It is the weapon that will give protection and assistance to everything else. Now, the shield is akin to faith because the shield is the only weapon that is not directly attached to the body. You remember the armor of righteousness, breastplate, the helmet, the shoes, all of those are attached to the body. But the shield is unattached. It is held up, apart from the body somewhat. Faith to us, of course, it's abstract. You can't touch it. You can't actually hold it in your hand. And yet it is that grace, that gift, that ability to live for Christ and to enjoy all the promises of God and the power of God in your life. We've learned already that it is impossible to please God without faith. You can't live the Christian life unless you are daily, constantly exercising faith. It, as I say, lays hold on the promises. We have many examples of men and women in the Bible who, by faith, claimed the promises, and the Lord brought them through. Faith is the way to enjoy the power of God in our lives. Because faith brings the gospel into our lives. Faith is what links us right to that which Christ accomplished on the cross. Here we are, what are we, 6,000 miles or more from Mount Calvary? All this distance, and all these years, 2,000 years later, how do I link up with what the Son of God accomplished in his death? The only way to do it is by faith. If you're doubting it and questioning it and abandoning it, it's as if it never happened. But once you believe and accept and take to heart and put your confidence in what Jesus accomplished on that cross, and you believe it as your way of salvation and peace with God, then all the power of the cross comes into your life and you become a Christian, a new person living in the power of God. So that is what the shield of faith does. And now we want to go into action. We need to take this into battle in the Christian life as a believer. And that makes you different. You're not in this world as an unbeliever. You're not in this world living as a Thomas, a doubter, a questioner. You're living now with this confidence. You're a believer. You're taking this to heart. It's yours. And this now is your weapon in the constant battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil in this world. Each day that you rise in the morning and you put on your clothes for the day, you begin a new day and a new walk and a new testimony for God. Don't forget, Paul says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Now, the Christian is always in a battle. But sometimes the battle lulls. The enemy doesn't always come at us at full force. It's a bit like trench warfare. Trench warfare was days and nights of boredom, and then the sudden attack of the enemy. And that can be your Christian life. There can be days when it's all joy and all peace and all happiness and all blessing. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, comes temptation and attack. And the enemy of your soul is seeking to bring you down. And at all times, therefore, you need to have this shield of faith. And you need to be ready to withstand. So what I want us to do here now this morning is to simply look at how will this shield of faith practically help you? What difference will it make as you seek to live the Christian life? First thing I want us to deal with is that this shield of faith will help us to fight against Satan's accusations. You remember that the devil is an accuser? He's an accuser of the brethren. He's like a bad lawyer. He's like a gangster lawyer. And he's making accusations against the Christian and accusing you of denying the Lord and of being unworthy. And he is the enemy who seeks to destroy that happy relationship between you and the Lord. Now, we have two very vivid examples in the Bible of the devil working as an accuser, a resister, and they're both Old Testament. One is in the book of Zechariah, chapter 3. Would you turn with me there firstly? Zechariah 3, it's one of the minor prophets, one of the last 12 books in the Old Testament, and you will find in chapter 3, verse 1, you have Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Now, this is a real life situation now. This is not theory, this is not figurative, it's real person, Joshua the high priest. He's standing before the angel of the Lord. He's doing spiritual work. He is seeking to honor and exalt the Lord. And in the midst of that, Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. I want to give you a little bit of Hebrew here. The word resist comes from the Hebrew word in the Hebrew language, Satan. Isn't that interesting? That's the devil's Hebrew name, Satan. That's the kind of person he is. He's the resister. That's the work he does. And he's been doing it consistently through the history of the world, resisting, opposing, hindering God's people in their worship, in their service for Christ. And that's why spiritual work can be so difficult. You know, you could read a book about trucks and cars, and ladies could read a book about fashion and various things that interest you on the secular level, and you could read that for a long time. But let me give you a book of sermons or some book on spiritual living, Christian living. And for some reason, it's hard going to take in spiritual things. That's why people don't like long sermons. You know, if you go over, well, the Puritans, they preach for 2 hours. But I think they only did it once a day. I split it up. I try to preach 40 minutes morning and evening, give or take. Usually take. Spiritual things are hard. The body is willing, but the flesh is the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And you remember how Peter and the disciples fell asleep right in the midst of prayer with the Lord. Have you ever fallen asleep in prayer? I think we'd all have to answer. If we didn't actually sleep, we got sleepy. We got weary in our devotions, in our worship time, in church. Did you ever nod off in church? I'll not report you, but people do tend to nod off in church. And sometimes I have to almost say, are you there? Are you there? This is a spiritual battle. And here is an example of the devil doing what he naturally does, resist, hinder. And we need the shield of faith. We need to be able to lean on the Lord. Now, the other example is one that I'll not ask you to turn up because it should be well known, and that is Job. Job, in the face of trials, he had lost his family, he had lost his servants, he had lost his herds, and he lost his health at one point, and the devil came questioning and seeking to have Job curse God and die. How did Job respond to the devil's temptations? Well, you have to read quite a number of chapters in the book of Job to get the story. But by chapter 19, he took the shield of faith and he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand upon the earth, and I shall see him in the flesh. There's Job going through the severest of trials with direct attacks from this Satan, this resister. And what did he do? How did he overcome? He took the shield of faith and he triumphed. Be prepared, of course, because these attacks can come in many forms. They can come while you're in prayer. We've learned of that already. While you're in prayer, God can whisper and say, why would God hear you? Why should God listen to your prayers? Think of the kind of person you've been this week. Why would God listen to you? And that's when you need the shield of faith, because I have an intercessor at God's right hand who prays for me. There's the shield of faith. And then, of course, they may come to you through your public testimony. You bear witness that you're a Christian. And the enemy might put the mockers before you and refer to you as a Puritan. By the way, I'm happy enough to be called a Puritan. I admire what the Puritans preached and stood for, and the goals that they had to live for God in a holy way. But when you bear witness for Christ, the mocker will accuse you. Goody, goody, holy, holy you. And they try to demean what you seek to be as a Christian. Then you need the shield of faith. You're justified. Just as if I had never sinned in the sight of God. And I may not boast of myself, but I can boast of my Redeemer and tell the story, taking the shield of faith. Now, are you doing that? This is the question. This is the issue of the day. Are you taking the shield of faith in those times of opposition and hardship as a Christian? Or are you just lying down under and losing faith and rolling into doubt and fear? So the This shield of faith helps us with accusations. It also helps us to fight off Satan's temptations. I have five of them. Temptations. It's very easy to speak about things that tempt us, ways by which we would be tripped up. But we need that shield of faith when we're tempted to doubt God Himself. That's the devil's classic method. First introduced in the Garden of Eden, hath God said, doubting God. And that's when we need the shield of faith, and we need to be holding it firm. Don't allow seeds of doubt to grow in your heart. Seeds seem so innocuous, so unable to harm, but those seeds that the enemy plants, if they sprout and grow, they're like bad weeds that sometimes they grow underground and they advance and they take over. And you need to use that shield of faith to destroy the seeds of doubt. The shield of faith is the answer to this. Don't listen. Don't give place to the devil. The book of James, he said, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And Paul says, how you do it, how you resist? Faith. Say to the devil, I believe God. I believe this book. Say to yourself, I'm a believer. I'm not going to fall into that trap of doubt and unbelief. Faith makes us strong in the Word. Do what Jesus did. It is written. It is written. When in the wilderness the devil came and attacked him, the Lord said, it's written. It's in the book. That was wielding the shield of faith.
You may have heard my short talk on my brand new King James Version Cambridge Bible. I had five reasons to stick with the KJV. Well, today I want to introduce you to a KJV study Bible. This is put out by Heritage Books and is a perfect Bible for every Christian home and every Bible student. So, don't go away. Give me a few minutes of your time to introduce you to this KJV study Bible. You'll be glad you did. First off, this is a decent-sized Bible, which is truly crammed full of good, solid information. But it is not overwhelming as you flip each page. On each page, there are helps with the text of Scripture to open up words and idioms that might burden the first-time reader of the KJV. At the end of each Bible chapter is a short devotional with thoughts and questions to stimulate the reader, which makes this excellent for family reading. At the back of the Bible is a concordance to help you find locations and themes or key Bible words. I really like the section on how to live as a Christian. Here are just five of the 32 one-page subjects to help you live the Christian life. Coming to Christ, united with Christ, experiencing justification and adoption, growing in sanctification, assured and persevering, Bible reading, why and how we pray, and family worship. Then there is a section on 20 centuries of church history, with one page on each century. These historic summaries are invaluable and should be read and reread by every Christian. It puts so much church history at your fingertips. The KJV Study Bible also contains the full text of the Heidelberg Catechism, the Canons of Dort, the Westminster Confession of Faith, 1647, with larger and shorter catechisms, and along with other helps, it has a Bible reading plan for the whole year. This is a Bible I can highly recommend, all in one volume, which is incredible and made possible by its high-quality paper. This is the Reformation Heritage King James Version Study Bible and is available at heritagebooks.org. Just tell them I recommended it and asked for your discount. You never know. There's no harm in asking. I'm recommending this Bible to you because I want to encourage you to be a thorough Bible student. Don't just flick through the Bible. Get into it. And I'm certain that if you do have a King James Study Bible, the Reformation Study Bible, that it will help you to get good, solid information that will help you to comprehend the Word of God and strengthen you in your faith. The book of Hebrews 4:12 says that it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, discerning the very thoughts and intents of the heart. And so this Bible will search you as you search the Bible. It will reveal sin to you, and it will bring you under conviction of sin. That's the power of God's Word. And for that reason, many people don't want to read it because they don't want to face up to what they are, how they are living. But God speaks very powerfully in His own Word. And it's important that you don't get your information secondhand. This is a study Bible, not to replace the Bible, but to help you dig into the Scriptures of truth. And so I do hope that this will be an encouragement to you. And whether you have this study Bible or not, well, be a Bible student, be a Bible reader every day, and let God feed your soul on His own Word. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you will find it on our podcast on iTunes. Search for Let the Bible Speak podcast. Or you can find our programs archived by program date on our website. There you can search for sermons and articles to help you know God's way of salvation and live the Christian life. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. If you've been blessed through the Lord's Word today, and if I can be of personal help to you, please feel free to call me, Ian Gollaher, at 604-576-1091. For information on our Free Presbyterian Church in Scarborough at Nielsen and Finch, you can contact Dr. Larry Saunders at 416-297-1212 or go to the church website, www.torontofpc.ca. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Barrie, call Reverend Anthony Dodurno at 416-305-4274. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Port Hope, contact Reverend Reggie Cranston at 905-885-2240 or click on porthopefpc.org. You will be welcome at any of their Sunday services at 11 a.m. or 6 p.m. May the Lord bless you with saving faith in our Lord Jesus. As the Savior of sinners, He is able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. Be sure to join us again at this time next week here on Joy Radio when, once more, we let the Bible speak.